Today, the Supreme Court heard arguments in a death penalty case. The central question, whether a defendant is denied a fair trial if his court-appointed lawyer turns out to have also represented the murder victim. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
In 1992, the half-naked body of 17-year-old Timothy Hall was found in an area of Newport News, Virginia, that's known as a hangout for homosexuals. Hall had been stabbed 143 times and sodomized. The physical evidence led quickly to the arrest of Walter Mickens, and a judge appointed a lawyer named Brian Saunders to represent him. The problem was that just days before, the same judge had appointed the same lawyer to represent the victim, Timothy Hall, in another criminal case. But neither the lawyer nor the judge ever told Mickens that his lawyer had represented the man he was accused of killing. Nor was the trial judge told, nor was the assistant counsel. After Mickens was sentenced to die, his new lawyer discovered Saunders' dual representation and asked for a new trial on the grounds that Mickens' lawyer had a potential conflict of interest and could not fully represent the defendant. Today, on the steps of the Supreme Court, Mickens' new lawyer, public defender Robert Wagner, explained why his old lawyer had a conflict of interest.
By representing the victim in this case, he'd obtained confidences and secrets from that victim, which could have been used to benefit Mr. Mickens. And because of his ethical duty to the victim in the case, he couldn't use that information.
Specifically, Wagner contends that Mickens' original lawyer never raised the possibility at trial that the murder occurred during a consensual sexual encounter, which, if true, would have meant that Mickens was not eligible for the death penalty. But Wagner had a hard time selling that argument in the Supreme Court today. Justice Breyer, couldn't this situation arise fairly frequently when a lawyer in a small public defender's office previously had represented the victim years ago? Answer, yes. Question, so what rule would you suggest we adopt? Answer, the rule would require the judge at the outset to determine if the attorney is compelled to refrain from doing something for this client because of his previous representation of the victim. Chief Justice Rehnquist, didn't the lower court eventually find that there had been no adverse impact on the defendant? Answer, yes, but that's not the same as determining whether there's a conflict. Justice Scalia, there's no conflict necessarily if the lawyer previously represented the victim. At most, there's a potential conflict. Justice Kennedy, there are all kinds of conflicts. Your claim that the defendant is automatically entitled to a new trial, that's an astounding claim. Virginia Assistant Attorney General Robert Harris picked up on that theme when he stood to argue, contending that it does not matter whether the judge or the lawyer acted less than admirably. The defendant is not entitled to a new trial unless he can show his trial was adversely affected by the lawyer's conflicting duties. Justice Stevens, do you think the lawyer had an ethical duty to advise the client? Answer, the lower court found he did. Yes, conceded the state's Mr. Harris, the lawyer's conduct may have been unethical, and the judge may have had a duty to inquire about potential conflicts of interest. But once the trial was over, neither of these things is grounds for an automatic retrial unless the accused can show his constitutional right to an effective assistance of counsel was violated. Justice Ginsburg, if the client does not know, isn't he betrayed by having a lawyer unable to represent him with undivided loyalty? The court's expected to answer that question sometime later this term. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.